Here in this sanctuary of ancient dreams, of wisdom and beauty, we come to grow, to be healed, to stretch mind and heart, to be challenged and renewed, to be helped in our own continuing struggles for meaning and for love, to help build a world with more justice and mercy in it, to be counted among the hopers and the doers. In the face of cynicism, darkness and brutality around us and within, we seek to align ourselves with a living community that would affirm rather than despair, that would think and act rather than simply adjust and succumb. Here we invite the spirit of our own humanity and the healing powers under, around, through and beyond it to give us the nerve and grace, the toughness and sensitivity to search out the truth that frees, the love that moves and the onward flowing life that makes all things new. These opening words by Jack Mendelsohn welcome all those who have gathered this morning for our Sunday service. Welcome to all of you who are here in person at Essex Church. Welcome to everyone who's joining via Zoom from far and wide, or perhaps joining via YouTube or our podcast stream at a later date. You're all very welcome. For anyone who doesn't know me, my name is Jane Blackall and I'm minister with Kensington Unitarians. This morning's service is titled In Our Hands. This is the day of our annual general meeting. It's the time of our membership service where we celebrate and affirm our members and our sense of belonging to this community. And it's also a day to remember that our members are responsible for the ongoing existence of this congregation. All our contributions are valued and necessary if the church is to survive and thrive in the years to come. So to that end, we're going to hear from five of our committee members today, from Liz, Patricia, Brian, Janine and Charlotte, who will all say a little about what they do to help keep the show on the road and why it means so much to them to do it. But before we go any further, let us light our chalice flame as we do each time we gather. It's a moment for us to gather ourselves, to centre ourselves, to remember why we're here, what it was we came for, perhaps lay down any agitation we came in carrying, and focus our attention. Let's be fully present as we co-create this sacred space together once again. This simple ritual of our chalice connects us with Unitarians and Unitarian Universalists the world over, and it reminds us of the proudly progressive religious tradition of which this gathering is part. We light this chalice for all who are here and all who are not, for all who have ever come through the doors of Essex Church or through the digital doors of our Zoom waiting room, and for all those who may yet find their way to this spiritual community one way or another. Let's light it for all those new ways of doing and being church together, of touching and transforming lives that we can't even yet imagine. For each of us and for all, may this small flame burn warm and bright. Time to sing now. Our first hymn, if you're in the building, it's on your hymn sheet. A church is a living fellowship. And if you're joining via Zoom, the words will be up on screen as usual. A church is a living fellowship. Feel free to stand or sit as you prefer and sing up as best you can. So let's take those joys and concerns, both spoken and unspoken, into an extended time of prayer now. This is based partly on some words by Liz Webber. You might want to adjust your position to get more comfortable. You might want to put down anything you don't need to be holding. You might want to close your eyes or look at the candles. If there's a posture that helps you to feel more prayerful, whatever helps you to get into the right state of body and mind for us to pray together now, to be fully present in this sacred time and space with ourselves, with each other, and with that which lies within us and beyond us. Spirit of life, God of all love, in whom we live and move and have our being, we turn our full attention to you, the light within and without, as we tune into the depths of this life, and the greater wisdom to which and through which we are all intimately connected. Be with us now as we allow ourselves to drop into the silence and the stillness at the very centre of our being. Spirit of life, help us to be present with all that is our life, both our deepest sorrows and our greatest joys, so that we can truly live, engaging fully in our own life and the life of the community. Spirit of community, help us to know how connected we all are, how each one of our cares and our concerns touches us all. Help us to ask for support when we are in need and offer our support to others when we are able, so that we may rest in the solace of one another's love. Spirit of love, help us to love our neighbour as we love ourselves, finding a balance between care for self and care for others, so that we might fully embody love and resist hatred. Spirit of resistance, help us to stick up for what is right, even when we are tired or afraid. Help us to dream of the world as it should be and act to bring that world about. Help us to find hope each day. Spirit of help, help us through this day and each day. Help us to be present for all that is our life. And let us remember that in our company this morning and every time we gather in community, there will be those among our number who are suffering, in body, mind, or spirit. And we know all too well there is much struggle, hardship, illness, and injustice all around the world. So let's spend a few quiet moments directing our own silent prayers of loving kindness for all those who suffer this day. In our company this morning and every time we gather in community, there will be those among our number whose hearts are full and overflowing, uplifted by family and friends, inspired by nature and culture, engaged in meaningful work. So let's spend a few more quiet moments directing our prayers of gratitude for all that is good in our lives. In our company this morning and every time we gather in community, there will be those among our number who are just getting by as best they can, stumbling through life's endless ups and downs and seeking to discern the next step forward. So let us spend a quiet moment quietly asking for what we most need to face all that life might bring our way. Spirit of life, God of all love, as this time of prayer draws to a close, we offer up our joys and our concerns, our hopes and our fears, our beauty and our brokenness, and we call on you for insight, healing and renewal. As we look forward now to the coming week, help us to live well each day and be our best selves, using our unique gifts in the service of love, justice and peace. Amen. Time to sing again now. This next hymn is a new one for us. If you're on the WhatsApp group or if you checked your email on Friday, you'll see that I shared the YouTube link so that you could practice ahead of time if you wanted to. It's on your hymn sheet, and it's called The Church Where Love Lives. I think perhaps, Andrew, if you play it right through before, it's quite long, but if you play it right through before we sing, that gives us a better chance. The words will be up on screen as usual. Let's give it our best shot. The Church Where Love Lives.
Volunteering. I volunteer at Kensington Unitarians because I value the church and the community. When I first started coming to Kensington, I enjoyed the services on Sunday mornings and meeting other people. I appreciated the chance to leave the world outside for an hour and think more deeply about things and how to aspire to be a better person. I must admit, I didn't volunteer right from the start. However, I started off volunteering to make coffee or to greet after a year or so. Fast forward a few years, and all of a sudden, I'm volunteering in all these ways. As chair of the church committee, which mainly involves chairing the committee meetings, although I have had some involvement in trying to resolve finalising the lease of the nursery that have the next door, Janine did the bulk of the work on this, though, and also representing Kensington Unitarians at wider gatherings. Organised a church coffee and greeting rotor, which I took over from Jane to reduce her massive workload by a little, as well as taking my turn to greet and make coffee regularly, at least once a month. I also organised a potluck lunch the 250th anniversary, get the date right, the anniversary right, held the other week. I'm also the church librarian, and at the moment I'm slowly cataloguing the contents of our library to see what we have, so we can get rid of what is no longer needed and bring in new books that members of the congregation will want to read. We'll have copies of all the books that we're currently reading in the Better Book Club. I realise that the church needs volunteers to keep the community and the place ticking over, not just now, but in the future too. One bonus of volunteering is that you do get an insight into how the church is organised. I know that the more people involved, the less of a burden for the volunteers, though I also appreciate that not everyone has the time or energy to do this. Volunteering also has the benefit of building stronger bonds with people through being part of a team, working together on something we all care about.
Hi everyone, my name is Charlotte. I'm a member of the Managing Committee and a regular co-host. As a member of the Managing Committee, I take part in meetings about every 6 weeks. I was also a member of the Search Committee, which presented Jane for appointment as our minister. The committee meetings often take place in the evening after I've had my work day. I teach in two different schools, one in the morning, the other in the afternoon, and I drive about 50 miles every day travelling. Plus, like all other secondary school teachers in France, I finish teaching at 5 p.m. Last year, the committee approved changes in meeting dates to accommodate my university studies as I come home at 9 p.m. on Wednesdays. I am very proud to take part in these meetings because I want to help this church that I love keep existing and growing. I'm also a regular co-host and in charge of the rota for co-hosts. Every month, I get in touch with our co-hosts, Janine and Sherry, and try to figure out how to sort the dates so that every Sunday is covered. Sherry has other obligations and can help us once a month, for which I thank her tremendously. Janine is also doing the tech hosting and has family obligations, so can help co-host about once a month as well. A huge, huge thank you to her as well. This means that I do the two services left, and I have done three services, some months with five Sundays. With the time difference and the new service time, it means that at least two Sundays out of each month, I can't do Sunday lunch with my friends or my family. Nonetheless, it's important to me to do it, as co-hosting is a way to be inclusive of everyone with challenging circumstances. Family obligations, health concerns, geographical challenges. If we had one more co-host, we would all do one service a month, which would be more sustainable. I wonder if anyone attending our service today or listening at a later date might consider making that small step forward to join the team and make a commitment to help us out just once a month. Do reach out to me or Jane if you might be willing to find out more about what it involves. Now I'm so glad I still get to be part of this congregation, even though I've moved countries. And I've now spent twice as long as an overseas member as I did coming in person. I still feel very involved, since there are ways to engage with the church and the congregation, even while being a mostly online member. It is really important to me to help this church thrive, as it helped keep my head above water when I needed it, but also because I believe in our values and our community.
Thank you, Charlotte. Thank you, Liz. And also thank you, everyone, for the valiant attempt with the new hymn, which we're definitely going to sing again soon. I really like that one. We're moving into a time of meditation now. I'm going to share a few words. The words are printed on the front of your order of service if you're in the building. They're with the rest of the service text online if you're at home. They're words attributed to St. Augustine. His answer to the question, what does love look like? Given our service theme today, In Our Hands, I hope his words will inspire reflection on the way that we put love into action in our lives, whether that's in this church community, in other communities, in our home neighbourhoods, or out there in the wider world. The words will take us into 3 minutes of silence, which will end with the sound of a bell, and then we're going to hear some more music for meditation from Abby and Andrew. So again, let's do what we need to do to get comfortable. Put down anything you don't need to be holding. You might want to put your feet flat on the floor if that helps you to feel more grounded. The words are just an offering. Feel free to use this time to meditate in your own way. So these words from Augustine. What does love look like? It has the hands to help others. It has the feet to hasten to the poor and needy. It has eyes to see misery and want. It has the ears to hear the sighs and sorrows of humanity. That is what love looks like. So let's take those words from Augustine into our time of shared silence and stillness now.
Jane has asked me to speak as treasurer of this church. But first of all, I have a confession to make. And when you hear what it is, you might think it's a confession I should have made earlier. I'm absolutely rubbish at maths. In fact, I'm rubbish at anything to do with numbers. I'm so bad that during the extremely brief period I was in the sixth form at my grammar school, I think that's now called year 13, I was moved down to do maths with the fourth form, in today's reckoning, year 11. It was not until I had another stab at getting a maths qualification in my 40s that I finally learned that trigonometry is about triangles and not about planes flying over trees in the park. Not the best person to take charge of your church's finances, you might think. Perhaps the fact that my first job on leaving school was at the Bank of England might reassure you. Sorry, they only taught me how to take down and type letters and kept me far away from numbers of any kind. Thankfully, I don't have to do much more than that now, as Andrea of Mindful Business Services keeps the cash book up to date, makes sure all the invoices are set up for payment, and all I have to do is authorise them. Most of the other stuff I do is still typing emails and letters. When called upon to check figures, I can use a calculator, and for more serious decisions, I can rely on my husband, who earned his living dealing with financial matters. Jane also asked me to say why I took on the role of treasurer. First of all, let me tell you why I became a member of this church. Although if you ask me what I believe, I would find it difficult to answer. I really do value church. Perhaps I could say I believe in church. I think that time spent once a week in quietude, letting go of worldly clutter, clearing our eyes so that we can see what really matters, and allowing ourselves to dream of a better world where peace and justice reign, is something that is immensely valuable and difficult to find outside of church. Some people seek the grandeur of cathedrals, and others the excitement of a gospel rock band. But I love the simple grace of Essex Church. Here we enjoy beautiful music and thoughtful readings, time to meditate and to listen and learn from each other. For some people, community is another important part of church, an opportunity to meet and get to know other people and join in activities together, both in person and online. Kensington Unitarians are a very warm, welcoming bunch of people of which I'm proud to have become a part. And that might explain why I became a member of Kensington Unitarians, but it doesn't explain why I took on the role of treasurer, which you will appreciate is way outside my comfort zone. When I was asked if I would take it on, I was more than a little reluctant. I was not sure I could handle it, but at the same time, we were stuck. Following COVID, we were exploring becoming a hybrid congregation, but without a minister, it was difficult to see the way forward. And without a treasurer, it was difficult to begin the process of appointing a minister. And I had become very attached to this congregation and eager to see it move forward. Also, I like having tasks to fulfill and I enjoy learning new things. I knew I had the time to do it and that I could rely on others to support me. And I found I quite enjoy it. Obviously, it is not necessary to be a whiz at maths to do this job. You need to be okay with internet banking, and the task is easier if you're good at organization. Most weeks, it doesn't take a lot of time, and everything can be done remotely. Of course, not everyone who comes to church wants to get stuck in like this. For some, church is the quiet center in a crowded life, the place where they can find solace in difficult times and where they can simply be at peace. And I am glad that I can play a part in creating that space. And I know there is someone in the congregation who will take over from me when the time comes. And I promise I will make their job as simple and as joyful as possible.
When I came to Essex Church in 2009, I really wanted to be part of a spiritual community. And the experience of my first service being one that was led solely by members of the congregation really spoke to me. This was a church where people were encouraged to engage, to participate more than just following what they were prescribed to say or do. And this was a church where people's gifts and talents were actively invited to be used to support and enrich community life. Having a facilitation and teaching background, my first volunteering experience was to do a reading in a service. I remember how nervous I was, despite my background. But as someone here wisely said to me, my nerves were a sign of how important this was to me. And it was important, because this church and its community was very important to me and continues to be so. My care for this church community and desire to help maintain it has led me to help in many ways, from greeting and contributing to our old newsletter, to leading service meditations and entire services, co-facilitating engagement groups and co-running Heart and Souls. I've attended in person and then online when able, and latterly being involved with behind the scenes tech hosting and serving on the management committee. And of course, being part of the ministerial search team last year, to name but a few things. Some tasks I did alone and some jointly with others whilst I got my bearings. Different skill sets were drawn on and in some cases learnt to be able to offer my services in these ways. But that tells me that as everybody has different skill sets, everyone has something valuable that they can contribute to the ongoing life of the church, whether from time to time or more regularly. My personal life has changed a lot in the last few months with an addition to my family, which meant that my time as a church staff member was short-lived. Now I can do less than I did before, but continue to do a few tasks, including rejoining the committee. Life can throw curveballs, unexpected things can happen, and there will be a time when I will step away from the volunteering roles I do now, and others will step up to do them instead. But even before that time comes, the African proverb, "It takes a village to raise a child," comes to mind. As in the same spirit, it takes a community to run a church. We all make up this community, and this is our church. So let's all continue to offer our support, doing what we can, and keep it going for the benefit of us all and those who are yet to walk through our virtual or physical doors. Thank you.
My father was a school caretaker, and he enjoyed doing do-it-yourself around our house. And some weekends he'd take me to work with him. And also he'd always encourage me to join in with his DIY. I think genetically and behaviourally I have a caretaking gene. Some years ago my partner of 44 years died. I'd moved from a high-input DIY house to a new low-input flat. I was lonely emotionally and missing an activity which has always given me a sense of satisfaction. By chance, I read about the Unitarians, congregations who meet to celebrate individual thought and movement towards a common humanity. Something which resonated with me, and I came to this church to investigate. I entered a welcoming and accepting community, where I found on talking to the then minister and warden that there was an opportunity to contribute practically in the upkeep of the church building and garden as a way of giving to the life of the church, and in a way that I found satisfying and enjoyable. Now I liaise with our warden, Ramona, to do the small maintenance jobs that are not part of her contract, which, if I was no longer able, or part of this community, or if there was no other volunteer, would have to be left or paid for with professional help. The congregation at the time of the building of this church gave us a wonderful, unique space in which to worship, while at the same time giving us the flexibility to utilise the building to generate the income to pay for our minister and our warden. We're fortunate, as an always moving, changing community of people, to have such a permanent home in which to practice our faith and to pass on to future generations. This is an inheritance I feel we have a responsibility to pass on as best we can, in as good a condition as it was passed to us. I shall be keeping going for the moment, although I recognise that my abilities are declining and that I will gradually be stepping back from the amount of physical work that I do. Then it would be nice to think that someone else might step forward to help carry the baton of care for this building forward. I feel privileged to have the time and the ability to contribute to the life of this congregation by caring for the building. But in doing so, I recognise that I have benefited more by what I've received from this congregation here at Essex Church than I have given.
Thank you, Brian and Janine and Patricia. It's heartwarming also to Liz and to Charlotte, to all of you, to speak of what it means to you to be part of this church and all the ways in which you've been moved to give something back. That's something which I think I can say we're all really grateful for. Hopefully this morning's service has made all of your invisible and behind the scenes work more visible. As I've said on many AGM days, the church really is just us. We're it. It is in our hands. This is our membership service, and each year in our membership service we welcome new members and we encourage all members, old and new, to renew and reaffirm their belonging and commitment to this church community. So I want to take this opportunity to officially welcome the three new members who have joined in the last year, Helen, Emma and Zebran, who I think is online today. New members who have officially joined, and you'll have met probably if you've been to our online activities, Helen and Emma, and Zebran's here quite a lot in person. I would like to extend this invitation again to anyone who attends regularly who would like to officially join to do so. Membership is not about money. It's not here anyway. It's about showing your support for this congregation, and it is good for morale for those of us who are keeping the show on the road when people sign up. We have a tradition of sharing in a responsive affirmation each year at our membership service. So if you're here in person, it's on a green slip in your order of service. I invite you to inwardly affirm your membership, or if you're not a member, affirm your good wishes for the work that we do here, perhaps, by joining in this responsive prayer. This is the prayer that was written for the induction service back in January, based on a collectively written congregational vision statement. So I hope we will revisit it often. I invite you to join in with the responses that are printed in bold. Spirit of life, God of all love, we ask for your blessing on this congregation and our shared ministry and mission. Help us to flourish and thrive. Empower us to fulfill our calling. May this be a community of spiritual commitment, somewhere we go to reconnect with what matters most in life. Encourage us to seek your daily guidance. Inspire us to pray always. May this be a community of care and compassion, a safer, softer, kinder space, a holy house of sanctuary. Grant us the spirit of generosity in our listening and speaking. May this be a community of authentic connection and realness, where we can show up as our true selves and share our stories. Help us to open our hearts to each other, reveal our common humanity. May this be a community of learning, growth and transformation in which we're encouraged to use and develop our own unique gifts. Guide us towards new horizons. Call us onward to greater heights and depths. May this be a community of resistance and liberation, a church where we speak and act for equality and justice. Awaken in us the insight, strength and courage to serve the greater good. Spirit of life, God of all love, we commit ourselves to this shared ministry. Bless the work of our hearts, minds and hands in the years to come. Amen. Time for one last hymn then, an old favourite, one of the theme tunes of this congregation, I think it's becoming, We'll Build a Land. It's number 198 in your purple books, and the words will be on screen. Sing up as best you can for our closing hymn. Time for a few announcements then. Thanks to Janine for tech hosting, Charlotte for co-hosting and welcoming everyone online. Thanks to Abby and Andrew for wonderful music and Benj for supporting our singing so well. Thanks to Liz, Patricia, Charlotte, Brian and Janine for their reflections on the theme and indeed, as you've heard, all that they do all year round. If you've been inspired or encouraged or nudged by their reflections, do have a word with any one of us. There's bound to be some way that any of you can help us to keep the show on the road. Thanks to Hannah for greeting, and Julia has already gone to put the kettle on for tea and coffee. There's Victoria sponge cake if you want to stay after the service. Please do hang around for the AGM, which will be at 12:30. Maybe just go and get a cup of tea and then come back in here. Hopefully you'll all have read the annual report. We do have a few hard copies if you want one. I hope it won't take too long, because I don't think we've had any questions in advance. If you have signed up as a member or renewed your membership this year, you're entitled to a copy of the book that's out in the foyer, Right Relationship in the Real World. Please just write your name on the list if you take one, and then we won't post you one as well. And if you're online, don't worry, most of yours are already in envelopes ready to be posted. We've got a Better World book group, book club, tonight at 7:30, when we'll be talking about What's in a Name by Sheila Banerjee. Bit too late to read that one now. But please pick up the book club flyer if you want to see what we're reading in the months ahead. Next month we're looking at On Being Unreasonable by Kirsty Sedgman. I think all our library copies of that have already been claimed, but if you need a copy, let me know and I'll see what I can do. We've got a regular Heart and Soul online spiritual gathering on Friday at 7:00, when our theme is self-compassion. It's a really great way to get to know people on a deeper level. Just email me if you want the link for that. And on Wednesday night, Brian's leading the poetry group. Have a word with him if you want to be part of that. Let him know your choices ahead of time of poems that you want to share. There are a few changes to the programme I need to tell you about. We've called off next weekend's mini retreats, as you'll appreciate. I've got a lot on my plate at the moment, so we've called that off. I hope they'll resume later in the year. And the community singing group will be taking a break during May, as our singing leader is on sabbatical, but that will be back on the 12th of June, and we'll continue on alternate weeks through the summer. Next Sunday at 11, me and Roy will be leading the service together in recognition of Mental Health Awareness Week. Details of all these activities are on the back of your order of service. They're in the Friday email. Do sign up for the mailing list if you haven't done already. We very much have a life beyond Sunday morning, so I encourage you to keep in touch. Nurture supportive connections and look out for each other as best you can. So just time for our closing words and closing music. It matters that we come together when we can, not just for what each may gain, but for what we each may contribute by our presence and participation. Remind us that in our heart of hearts, if we want our church to be there for us, we must be there for our church too. And remind us that if we want others to be there for us in our times of need, then we must be them there for them in theirs. So in the week to come, as we leave this space and return to our daily lives, may we feel a sense of lasting connection to this congregation, our beloved community. And may we truly know this church as a place where we belong, our spiritual home. Amen.